Good afternoon, everyone. How are you today? My name's Kate. I'm a compulsive overeater, and it's
Hi,
so
Kate.
Lovely
Kate.
To see you.
Hi, Kate.
Hello. I've brought some friends. Well, I have a room of friends. I've brought a dinosaur, and I've brought ABBA. And I have had this approved by convention committee, so stick with me. I had to check. I didn't want ABBA to be an outside issue. Step two, came to believe that a power. So what does powerless mean? I looked in the dictionary this morning and it said powerless means lacking power, lacking force and lacking energy. I was very powerful in my disease. It gave me the power, the force and the energy to hurt, to abuse, to traumatise not only myself but people, places and things. It was neutral over whom, partner, institutions, people I worked with, friends, people who said they loved me, and it was dished out with an unrelenting power that I could not control. Not only devastating me, but the other people, places and things around me. And this was on a daily basis. It took no prisoners. In the dictionary, insanity says the condition of being insane, a state of mind that impedes the ability to think, to reason, or behave in ways that are considered normal. I am not a normal eater. I don't know what a normal plate of food is. End of. So, came to believe, for me in my recovery today, didn't mean that I thought what I was when I was in the food before I came to OA 5 years ago. There was a little bit inside of me that believed that I was quite a nice person with a good heart, a loving, gentle presence, and maybe even happy. But once the Jenga of food just started to happen, I felt not enough, not perfect enough, not deserving enough, not doing enough, doing everything wrong. I was smelly, ugly, disgusting. The food Jenga, it's real for me. So, the disease of compulsive overeating and compulsive food behaviours began with a slow burn. A little extra here, a little less there, and at the end, the mindless, soulless, never-ending cycle of shame and actions that I came to believe that was all I was worthy of, all I could do, and that I was a useless, used-up, broken waste of space. Being alive and living aren't the same thing. I freely describe myself as a spiritual amnesiac. When the going is good, I forget how hard it can be. And when life is hard, I forget how good it can be. So for me, in recovery, I need the daily, hourly, minute reminders of the God of my understanding to give me the God nudge, as I call them. That little thought, that feeling, that spark of God's love for me. It started with meetings, which led to outreach, which led me to the path to my higher power. This is where ABBA comes in, Exhibit A. In the ABBA lyrics of The Name of the Game, I don't know about you, but I am a debating committee. I hear something and I go, why? I want to know, and what is it, and what's in it for you, and everything. So in the lyrics of ABBA, The Name of the Game, it says, what's the name of the game? Does it mean anything to you? Can you feel it the way I do? Tell me, please, because I have to know. I'm a bashful child beginning to grow. And you make me talk, you make me feel, and you make me show what I'm trying to conceal. If I trust in you, would you let me down? Would you laugh at me if I said I care for you too? That was what I went into, trying to find a power of my understanding, of a God of my understanding, to my higher power. Every relationship I'd ever had, there were some terms and conditions. Every situation I'd been in, there was always the trade-off. If I love something that I cannot see, and I don't really have a concept about it, how can you give me a life beyond my wildest dreams? That's just impossible. That's when Exhibit B, the dinosaur comes in. I've never seen a real dinosaur in real life ever before. I've seen the books, the films, the videos, the plays, the T-shirts, the socks, the bed duvets, etc. But I've never actually seen a real dinosaur, but I know they exist. So if I can believe in a dinosaur, I can possibly think that I can believe in a power greater than myself. That if I start having that relation with, that talking, that feeling, that growing, can opening up a little bit time after time to myself, of myself, to this thing, then can I feel it? Well, yes, I can. Can I touch it? Yes, I can touch nature. That's really important to me. Can I hear it? I hear it in every meeting, every outreach, every sponsee, every sponsor session, every friendship that I have. So that higher power is going to take me to a beautiful place. But I have to do that little bit of spark, which I was powerless to do to begin with. When my recovery started, I started to believe that my higher power, the God of my understanding, that God had the force, that God had the power, and that God had the energy to guide me through this thing called life. An ending, everlasting, without end, constant, and there always. Of course, I had a lot of questions. Kept going, still does. But with that everlasting love, I am given a life beyond my wildest dreams. And for me, in my recovery today, a life beyond my wildest dreams is putting down my compulsive overeating and my compulsive food behaviours. Everything else is a bonus. Everything else is a bonus. And as I was listening to Charlie's share, I've got a tattoo, I had it last year, and it's just two lines on my thumb, and it's for step 11. Step 11 is thought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will and the power to carry that out. Now, as I was listening to the share, it reminded me that that could be 11, but that could be two. The two things are bookending. This might not be new to anybody else, but it was an absolute tsunami of extreme excitement for me in this situation. So yeah, the two kind of go hand in hand. So my higher power, the God of my understanding, is with me. Whether I choose to recognize that higher power or not. And sometimes I'm still that willful, bashful child. I know you're there, but I don't want to go there. But really, I'm only hurting myself. And then really, I'm only hurting the other people that love me and care for me and guide me. And even the people I don't know. Because it's that ripple effect, isn't it? If I can say thank you to one person for taking away my dishes, that's just thinking about other people as well, which I really like. I don't know if I've shared it. I know I've shared it in the early bird. But I have... I'm just saying it because sometimes I just need to say it, that I have released over £100, and that is God doing for me what I cannot do for myself, because I couldn't do that by myself. So I came to believe that a power greater than myself could stop me from my compulsive food and my compulsive overeating, because I knew I couldn't, because every time I tried, I failed, and failed with spectacular results. I was very good at that, top of my class. But I never say that I've lost it, because I know where to find it. Because it's there, just waiting for me. In all the all-you-can-eat buffets, sometimes I have to ask God, my higher power, just to stand with me and walk with me and hold hands with me when I go into a buffet or a place of food. Because left to my own devices, it's me against the buffet. It's me against the food, and the food always wins. One way or another, it will get to me. So I'm very, very grateful. Or I can make an outreach call and say, because people speak to me through, God speaks to me through other people. When we do that outreach, it gets me out of my own head, and I go, and this has happened, and this has happened, and this is, and do you know what happened next? And people will go, yeah, I'm there. Everything you've said is true, and everything you're saying, I feel it as well. And that makes me think that I'm not unique, if you felt it, which is... But I heard in a lovely meeting, and it said, I am unique, just like everybody else. Isn't that wonderful? Thank you. The fact that we can be unique. So James will give me 5 minutes, and there's just two more things that I would really like to share. So when I came into the rooms of OA 5 years ago, can you believe it? First person I spoke to might be in this room today. And they said to me, you're not in the problem anymore. You are in the solution. Welcome to Overeaters Anonymous. Welcome home. The second thing is, I spoke to this wonderful American lady in my really, really, really early outreaches. And she says, and I won't do the accent. Oh, honey, just turn to page 726 of the big book and all your answers will be there. And it says, the last 15 years of my life have been rich and meaningful. I have had my share of problems, heartaches and disappointments, because that is life. But also I have known a great deal of joy and a peace that is the handmaiden of an inner freedom. I have a wealth of friends, and with my AA friends, an unusual quality of fellowship. For to these people, I am truly related, first through mutual pain and despair, and later through mutual objectives and newfound faith and hope. And as the years go by, working together, sharing our experiences with one another, and also sharing a mutual trust, understanding, and love, without strings, without obligation, we acquire relationships that are unique and priceless. There is no more aloneness with that awful ache, so deep in the heart of every alcoholic that nothing before could ever reach it. That ache is gone and never need return again. Now there is a sense of belonging, of being wanted and needed and loved. In return for a bottle and a hangover, we have been given the keys of the kingdom. Thank you for letting me share. Have a lovely convention.